FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday's league match at Michelover Sports. And later in the show, we'll be hearing if the women's team could keep their unbeaten run going in the league. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with some dates for your diaries, and tickets are still available for FC United's St Patrick's celebrations at Broadhurst Park on Saturday the 21st of March, following FC's home match with Stalybridge Celtic. There will be Irish stew and great music provided by Parcel of Rogues and DJ D-May. Whilst the club on the 27th of March will also be hosting another comedy night, featuring compere Smug Roberts as well as Britain's Got Talent's Barbara Nice and Johnny Awesome. Proceeds from both nights will be going to the Club Development Fund, and you can purchase tickets from the club office during office hours by calling 0161 769 2005. And finally for this week's news, and following a remarkable 4-4 draw with Warrington Town in their last outing, FC United manager Neil Reynolds focused his attentions on Saturday's match at Michelover Sports. To hear his mood heading into the weekend, Neil caught up with Ben on Friday night.
So Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and another big game against Michelover Sports. But before we talk about that game, let's talk about the last game. A silly football, as I like to call it, FC United 4, Warrington Town 4. What's training been like since that game?
4-4, not bad for the neutral, Ben. No good for me. You know, I came out in the newsletter and said it's great to score 4 goals. When you score 4, you expect to win. I just feel that with Joss, you know, defensively, we've just made a few errors. Look at the Michelover game, look at the Bamberbridge game, look at the Warrington game. And it's not errors on the ball, it's more about our shape out of possession. So training this week, we've done loads of work on our shape out of possession. We've done loads of work of pressing at the top end of the pitch and nullifying distances and making sure that the back four are hitting the halfway line quicker than what we have. But you know, listen, if you would have said going into Nantwich, going into Warrington, you know, two playoff contenders or even, you know, league title contenders in Warrington, I think everyone would have accepted 4 points. So, you know, at this point with the goals conceded, when you get a clean sheet in Nantwich, we're desperately happy with the 4 points, which sets up what I've classed as, you know, the two biggest weekends of the season to date.
Right. Obviously, you're talking about South Shields in a couple of weeks' time. You've got to be careful with that, though, haven't you? Because you've got to make sure that the Hollywood fixture doesn't stand out too far ahead, because Michelover away is a toughie, isn't it?
And that's why I say two biggest weekends, because I don't think next weekend means anything if we don't go and pick up points tomorrow at Michelover. You know, that's what I'm doing it like. You know, I expect South Shields to go to Bamber Bridge, and they've done really well away from home. And then they've got Nantwich on Tuesday night. So by the time we go there next week, it could be, you know, the top position could be beyond us unless we perform tomorrow at Michelover. So, and that's what I'm saying, two biggest weekends, because it's, you know, for me, we're going to go there and win tomorrow if we want to, you know, try and claw back some distance on South Shields. But we've definitely got to win if we want to cement the place in the playoffs, because there's teams below us now. You know, your Whitby's, your Morpeth, your Scarborough's on a real run. Bamber Bridge are coming strong. You know, people are beginning to look over the shoulder. So two massive weekends for us. You know, I'll accept another 4 points. You know, that's what we do. But, you know, we've got a lot of our work to do at Michelover first tomorrow.
And thinking of Michelover, Michelover have been, they've dropped down the table, but that's mainly because they've not been playing that many games. You know, the latest result for them was a 1-1 draw at Whitby. So, you know, they've not gone away. Let's put it that way. The quality that we saw back at Broadhurst Park.
No, they win tomorrow. They go up to ninth, I think. No, they could go up to ninth. And his teams in this level of football. I mean, we switched off three times against Mikulova and he punished us three times. I think we had four or five shots on goal all game, but it showed the quality that they're able to score goals. And if you look down at the fixtures, apart from the last couple, I think they've only played three since February the 1st. And that was against us. So, you know, the way behind on their games, but, you know, people have warned me about the threats. I know about the threats. And we can't be any less than our best tomorrow because, you know, they're a good side. And they've taken points off big sides. So, for me, it's, you know, we've got to be focused. We've got to be ready. And if, you know, if we want to get in the playoffs or even if we want to, you know, achieve the unthinkable, then 3 points tomorrow is a must. But, you know, like I said to the players at Chain last night, I was in the newsletter, I don't want, you know, to put pressure on people. That's me putting pressure on myself, not on the players, not on the fans to turn up the giddyometer. It's just a case of me, you know, if we want to do what we want to do, then that's what we've got to do. But if we don't, we don't. You know, and like I said, before the season, the expectation was the top 10, and, you know, we're well on course for that. So, but we are enjoying it. You know, we're enjoying it, and we've got a little ambition in the dressing room. So, tomorrow, we're going to overcome a tough nickel on the side, but we're going there to win the game.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to FC Live. You're joining us at the Mikulova Sports Club for this afternoon's game. It's FC United and Manchester's trip to Derbyshire to take on Mikulova Sports. And joining me for this opening bit of the show, Sato Paul's here. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, Paul.
I should start by saying something nice about our house. There was a survey of affluent places in the UK this week.
Yes.
And West Mikulova was one of the top 10.
Not Mikulova, West Mikulova.
Which is not quite where we are, but I think we're in a field on the east bit.
I mean, first thing to say, the pitch is massive. It's a bit like Stocksbridge in that there's a cricket field right next door and part of the pitch is part of that cricket field.
We believe this is the biggest playing area in the division, but also the ground with the smallest capacity. So make of that what you will.
And there's a beer festival here this afternoon, so a lot of people aren't actually in the ground at the moment. They're in the beer tent next door. But I'm sure they'll join us.
I'm sure they'll hear it. They'll run out when they hear a goal being scored.
Yes, absolutely. So Neil Reynolds describes this as the first of two massive games. South Shields isn't going to mean much unless we win here today.
It's still 3 points for each game, as we know. So I know we're taking the South Shields game very seriously to the extent of extensive preparations for that weekend to make sure that the players are ready for the battle, which will be South Shields. This afternoon, we come into a place where, again, we've struggled, to be honest. The first time we played here, we were horrible. We lost 2-0. Second game, we got it slightly better and won 2-0. But Mikulova, an interesting side. They've only drawn once at home all season in 12 games.
And they've dropped down since we last played them. But that's not to do with form, necessarily. That's to do with the fact they've not played that many games recently.
Yeah.
They
drew at Whitby in midweek. Before that, they'd lost 5 of 6 games to the weather. So
so what we're saying is,
they've travelled around a fair bit without playing.
Even though the 15th, what you need to remember is, it's the same team where we had to come from behind three times a month or so ago.
They've already shown us this season how awkward they can be, and this is not going to be an easy afternoon. The pitch looks in reasonable shape, to be fair to them.
Yeah, it's
the wind might play a factor.
The wind is going to play a factor. Basically, the setup here, there's a clubhouse just behind that goal. We're in the only stand. There's a terrace. It's a bus stop, isn't it? Behind the goal over there, where a few of the SMRE types have congregated.
Yeah, and the fourth side is.
Well, that's where the cricket pitch is, isn't it?
It's the cricket pitch.
So, heading into this game, team news, and for those people counting Tunde Owolabi's yellow cards, we believe that he's on 8 currently.
Eight league yellow cards. Yeah, Cup.
Yeah, 8 league yellow cards, which is what the important number is.
Yeah, that's the magic number.
And they get reset slightly on Sunday.
Yeah.
So as long as he doesn't pick up a red card today, he should be fine, regardless, for South Shields next week.
Yes, that's right.
That's what we understand, in case you people at home sweating, worrying about whether we're going to have Sunday for the biggest game of the season. After this one, of course, it should be fine. Other news as well, Cal Hawley's gone back to Morecambe. Didn't really work, did it,
well,
really?
He got an injury, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that didn't help. And by the time he was fit again, the chance is gone, really.
We're sending our best wishes to Cal and hope he goes on from strength to strength and that kind of thing. So, line up this afternoon, Curtis Jones and Chris Doyle are in the back line alongside Aaron Morris and Adam Dodd. So that's the pre-injury lineup there, right there. That's the back four, and yeah, the back five with Cameron Belford in goal. That's hopefully will take us to the end of the season now.
Yeah, we've had injuries obviously, and that's disrupted things. We've still not got 100% starting 11 that we would probably like to have, but I think today's lineup is probably as good as we can put out.
Dan, with
interesting selections on the bench.
Now let's. Me and James were having a look at the stats on the way to the ground.
Here we go.
Let's talk about Tunde Owolar, because you know we were talking about his yellow cards there, and well, it's quite striking. Apart from offsides, if you combine offsides, he's given away so many free kicks.
We're about 150 with both.
Fouls alone, yeah, he's nearly, and I'm only talking like a handful here, off Potts and Griffiths combined.
Yeah, but that's the way the game is played these days. You want your front man to fight for the ball, and Tunde does fight for it, and he gets penalised a lot. It's not that he's a dirty player.
No.
The stats suggest that he's a dirty player, but he commits fouls because he's too keen. He tries to fight for possession in areas he really probably shouldn't be, to be honest.
It's like the booking he got. It was the booking he got where he got it for persistent fouling, and a lot of it is harsh, in all fairness.
But it's cumulative, isn't it?
Yes, that's the only downside. Other downsides, I'm sat here very cramped this afternoon, and if we go off air or anything like that, I do apologise. It's probably because I've pulled a wire out with my knee or something. So that's the fouls. When it comes to goal scoring, Tundy's obviously head and shoulders, but Charlie Ennis.
Yeah.
And he starts today.
One stat you probably didn't discuss was shots to goals ratio, which is another story.
Go on then, what's that story?
Well, Adam Dodd, his shots to goals ratio is incredible, but we won't go there.
And Adam Dodd's played the most minutes of any player this season thus far.
Yeah.
He's also up there when it comes to assists. And he's not too far off. Well, he is quite far off, but he's in the top five goal scorers for the season as well.
Yeah.
So he's not bad, Adam Dodd.
He's been a very useful acquisition, hasn't he? And that's without his assists, which, you know, you mentioned.
And obviously last week he was very, very important in that silly football, I like to call it, the 4-4 draw with Warrington. Adam Dodd getting the penalty, of course. I mean, we don't want another game like that, do we, Paul?
No. Well, we just want a nice game of football without too much fouls and some beautiful football on display, really, don't we?
Yeah. Any other tidbits from today's game, Paul, that might be of interest to the dear listener at home?
Tidbits? Oh, well, as I mentioned, we've won one and draw one here, which is reasonable, I suppose. We're unbeaten against Derbyshire clubs this season. We've won three and drawn two. So let's hope that prevails at quarter to five.
And when it comes to the teams, they'll be out shortly, and the crowd is building up quite nicely. There's a lot of people behind that goal over there, isn't there? And what's that place called? That's Bar. Yeah, they're near the Bar.
Yeah. And Tunde is one short of 30 goals for the season.
There we go.
This afternoon.
So it could be a big afternoon for Tunde Owolabi, but the teams are now coming out onto the pitch. So without further ado, it's time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Armour. It's Mickle over Sports against FC United of Manchester, and it's Stato Paul, me and James Quinn.
Augustin now, back near the halfway line, and he plays it all the way back, decent pressing from FC. Number five is Dean Freeman. Plays a low ball through, but he misplaces that pass. Dodd gets in the way, plays it to Charlie Ennis, takes it over halfway left-hand side. Charlie Ennis overlapping is Dodd, and Ennis there, nice work there. Dodd now, can he get a cross in? Low cross in, chance for Tunde Owolabi, who's onside, and it's 1-0.
Well, there's the 30th of the season for Tunde, and what a simple goal it turned out to be from the cutback.
Well, good work on the left-hand side from FC, but you would have to say, from a Mikulova point of view, very, very poor defending there. The ball seemed to go through a Mikulova defender there, and Tunde Owolabi, I'm sure, couldn't believe his luck. In the second minute of the game, FC United take the lead.
118 seconds.
And it's a free kick in a nice position for FC, probably about 25, 26 yards out, right-hand side.
6 minutes on the clock.
And FC one goal to the good, looking to double their lead early on here. Charlie Ennis has got the ball at his feet here, and I think this will be a floater into the box rather than try one. Thompson-Smith is also a candidate here for a left-footed in-swinger, and Doyle and Jones have gone up for this. Ennis plays it forward. It's a nice looking ball. And Tunndale hits the bar with a header. And it's cleared. Barry tries to thread it through to poor ball. And now Owolabi has it. Owolabi on the move here. He's on his own. He's going to try take it past his man. Great speed from Owolabi. Owolabi still has it. He's got a chance here, Owolabi.
Oh,
and it's hit the post.
It was Homsa-Smith coming in.
Oh, well, Homsa-Smith took the shot in the end and took it off the laces of Owolabi there. But
I thought he was about to pull the trigger there when his teammate intervened. But
and it was the wrong foot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because Tunney was about to unleash on his right.
Yeah.
Homsa-Smith on his left.
Mikulova trying to break. And it's threaded through there. Doyle does good defending work. And Homsa-Smith picks it up halfway line. Flicks it through for Owolabi. Driven wide, but Owolabi, can he bring it in field from the edge of the box? Owolabi, right-footed shot, hits the post! Well, how many times does he have to hit the woodwork? And FC, and it's a good through ball to Bevan, edge of the box, Bevan.
Good challenge, Jones.
And woodwork by Jones, and now Trickett-Smith now breaks away. He's got Owolabi to his left. Owolabi, can he make something of this? Owolabi into the box. Three defenders there.
Oh!
What a magnificent goal by Tunde Owolabi!
Bang!
Bang into the top corner! And FC United into a 2-0 lead. And I can tell you something, Tunde Owolabi's gold drought is well and truly at an end. 31 for the season in all competitions. FC two goals in front.
4 minutes well, into added time of the first half.
He composed himself there, controlled the ball, picked his spot, and then absolutely hammered it.
Morris, with defending to do, nods it rather aimlessly back. He's got to keep it in, play to avoid the corner. Does so now, he's got to clear his lines. Ball bounces back on him there, rather fortuitously, and he'll bring it forward now, will Morris, and play a long ball forward for Owolabi, but Young will
second
pick
ball.
Up. But second ball won by Donoghue. Donoghue, can he pick the right pass here? Donoghue. Owolabi, left foot, right foot. Oh,
Still in.
Shoots, it's in! 3-0, hat-trick for Tunde Owolabi. Well, there was a bit of a carry on there. The ball bounced around. Broome saved it once, but it bounced out there. And on the volley, Tunde Owolabi rattled it into the Mikulova goal. And FC go 3 goals to the good.
Right on 80 minutes.
That's his second FC hat-trick after the 4 he got against Buxton.
32 goals for the season in all competitions. I think it's 25 in the league. And threaded through Doyle. Great defending from Doyle. Brings it through Beckenbauer style. Goes down. Donoghue playing on is the referee. Donoghue out now. Don with a chance. 6 for 4-0 and 6 for the season for FC's fourth largest goal scorer. And a great work there from FC. There was a foul. The referee correctly played. Advantage and FC took full advantage, and it's now Mikulova Sports 0, FC United 4. And Potts breaks it up and plays it back to Belford, who clears his lines. And there goes the final whistle. Well, an extremely satisfactory day at the office for FC United and Manchester. Well, I thought that maybe the 1-0 win at Nantes, which is as good as performance as FC have given this season, in my humble opinion. And I know I'm reacting straight after this final whistle, but I would suggest that's FC's performance of the season.
I think the first time passing and movement was excellent this afternoon. And I think we all backed each other as a team. We covered for each other. We defended when we had to. We broke at pace. We had far too much for Mikulova this afternoon. And the home side looked like a broken team at the end of the game. They've been forced back so many times. They've been made to run in areas they didn't want to run. And FC have really controlled a lot of this game. And the passing and movement has been really excellent.
That we've heard Neil Reynolds talk in the past about, you know, the way he likes to play and the way that he doesn't like players to be too far apart, players in close proximity to each other. I think it was probably as perfect example of that as you would see from FC this season.
Yeah, I think he'll be delighted with what he wanted from the side this afternoon and what he's got. And we also have to bear in mind, we scored 4, it could have been a hell of a lot more.
And that's also that professionalism. EFC wondered when FC were 1-0 up, is it one of those that's going to come back to bite us, hitting the woodwork, all sorts? But then Tunde Owolabi getting the second goal brilliantly just before half time in added time. And then FC really didn't look. There was that period in the early part of the second half where a bit of momentum went Mikulova's way, and they They had came close a couple of times, but then FC reasserted themselves, really, and took control.
I mean, how many saves did Belford make, Paul? It wasn't that many, was it?
I think it was one.
And that was the daisy cutter.
Yeah.
But Broom, absolutely, at one point when FC were 2-0 up, Broom made three cracking saves to stop FC running away with it. But in the end, FC overran Mikulova for the 4-0 scoreline.
Well, looking at the stats, Broom made five saves in the game.
And we hit the woodwork three times.
Yeah. So that you look at 4-0, and 4-0 doesn't flatter the team this afternoon. It could have been a lot more.
Just to give you some full-time scores then. We're still waiting for a full-time score at Stainton Park, but at the moment it's Radcliffe 2, Nantwich Town 2. South Shields in the end did beat Bamber Bridge at the Sir Tom Finney Stadium by 2-1. So that sees South Shields up to 63 points. FC United are in second spot as we head towards 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. They're 6 points behind South Shields, but 2 points ahead now of Basford United. Basford dropped down to third following a 2-0 home defeat to Buxton. Nantwich Town is still playing there, but it's finished at the Giant Axe. Lancaster City 0, Gainsborough Trinity 1. Lancaster City now dropping down to fifth spot in the league. Warrington Town still playing at Stalybridge Celtic, but they're 2-0 up in that game there. So if things stay the same between Radcliffe and Nantwich, 4th, 5th and 6th will all be on 52 points. But crucially now, FC United have got a 5-point cushion to sixth spot in the playoffs. Whitby Town have been beaten this afternoon by Stafford Rangers. Bottom of the table, Stafford Rangers 2, Whitby Town 1. Whitby Town there are now 4 points outside the playoffs, sitting in seventh position. Scarborough Athletic have also been beaten this afternoon. They were beaten 2-0. At Ashton United, and I'm just seeing if there's any other scores I've not given you. Hyde United, a 3-1 win over Matlock. Hyde United now up to 10th position in the league table, and that's all the full-time scores. So, Paul, we head towards South Shields now on Saturday. 6 points the gap.
I think
it's a big game now.
It is. It was a big game. It was going to be a big game. I think that FC will go into it with great heart. The confidence in the side was there for everyone to see, and we're just watching Luke Griffiths leaving the field, and I think he was one of those who put in a very sterling performance this afternoon.
Can't escape the fact though, Paul, it was a clean sheet. Jones, Doyle, Morris
solid
and Dodd
back
together, yeah. Offside trap in full force, and they were worthy of the clean sheet, really, weren't they?
I think we earned the clean sheet, and Belford was very well protected.
But Belford's distribution as well was key a lot of the times. You know, in that first half especially, the distribution was excellent from the FC United keeper. And in midfield, like you say, Griffiths and Potts there. Special mention for Charlie Ennis as well. He was involved in a lot of FC United's good spells.
I thought Ennis was very, very productive this afternoon. Some games he isn't as productive, but today he came up with the goods. And quite rightly, the FC fans giving accolades to all the players as they come off.
We should have a special mention as well for Thompson Smith and Trickett Smith. Both were substituted in that second half, but they're good games. Again, Thompson Smith was superb, I thought.
Yeah, all the way through the side. I mean, you've got we mentioned Dodd before. Dodd and Morris, the two fullbacks, were two really serious weapons this afternoon going forward. It caused them all kinds of problems.
Well, Dodd getting the fourth goal as well, a great finish. Shall we go back to Owalabi, who's got a hat-trick, and that second goal especially, bang.
That second goal was a devastating strike. And it really summed up Tunde's season, I think, the three goals he scored today. One was being in the right place at the right time. One was a devastating strike. And the third one was sheer perseverance, where he had the shot, it was saved, and he made sure he rammed in the rebound.
Yep, so 4-0 win this afternoon. We're going to stay in there till we get the post-match thoughts of Neil Reynolds. Just to say, the dressing room is quite far away from us, but it's not as far as Barrow was, so I'm assuming he will come over at some point.
I suppose there's not really much of a choice about man of the match in the end. I mean, you could give it to a lot of players, but when a player scores a hat-trick, particularly when he's been slightly short of goals, then I would suggest You've got to give it to him.
Attendance was 804, by the way.
And a lot of FC fans there.
Which is significantly higher than the previous best.
Talk about man of the match. You know what, James? Mm. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Outrageous.
We can't go with Sunday, can we? It's too obvious. Who's in contention, Paul?
Dodd, certainly, despite the blows he took early in the game.
It's a very good point, actually. But no.
There's a number of good performances.
Just to say as well, the substitutions were made. Linney and Donoghue coming on. Donoghue, he looked sharp, didn't he, Paul?
He did. He looked as if he came out, he wanted to make a point, and he certainly did. He set up the fourth goal, didn't he, I think? I'm right in saying, for Dodd. And he looked very lively. He looked like he wanted to run at players and make things happen. Good sign for next Saturday.
Let's go to Saturday's game then. How do we go about this game? We were saying at half time, you know, at that point, Bamber Bridge were doing us a big favour. It was always going to be a tall ask for them with South Shields, especially when, you know, you've got Jason Gilchrist who can score winners for you. How do we go about this game next week without blowing the lid off things?
I think we've just got to treat it as every other game, though, to be honest. I mean, South Shields are at the top of the table for a good reason. They've been the most consistent side, but at the same time, you know, our away record, we've had a couple of blemishes all season, again, is another example of how good we are away from home. You know, a clean sheet, four goals. This is a good result at Michelover. Let's not get away from that.
People might look at them sliding down the table. A lot of that is to do with the fact they've not played all that many games. And, you know, for managers, when you're having weeks without kicking a ball, you lose that sharpness and everything like that. And it takes a lot to kickstart it again. I mean, for a few managers, it's pretty much like playing the first game in August all over again. But when it comes to this game next weekend, go back to Nantwich Town, travelling up there just a couple of weeks ago and beating South Shields by 4-1. They are beatable at home.
They have slipped up occasionally this season. They're not unbeatable. It's going to be a very hard game. We've already been up there, and it's going to be very interesting. But I'm sure Renault's on his way over now, and I'm sure he'll be very confident about next Saturday.
Are you all right to fall on your sword, Paul?
Yeah,
is that all right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, as always, to Stats Up, Paul. LiveTeamStats.com, the place to go to for all the stats from this afternoon's game. But it's now time to hand over to James Quinn, who's got the gaffer, Neil Reynolds, with him.
Oh, congratulations, Neil. What were the key elements of that victory?
We've worked hard in training this week. If you've read my notes and the newsletter, you know, I said that we want to nullify space, we want to tighten up at the back, we want to condense the shape, and then on the counter-attack, obviously we want to score goals. There was a moment in the game that it all came to fruition when Curtis Jones made the tackle, central areas, gives it to Dan Trickett-Smith, he burst through, Tundi O'Larby 2-0 just before half-time, and as a manager, when you work on things like that and it comes to fruition, then, you know, it's the best feeling. But we knew we had to be at our best. I think these have only lost 4 or 5 at home all season.
I think five, yeah.
Five, now 6. Come here and win 4-0 is incredible. And, you know, I just said to the boys, I said, can we set up next weekend's fixture? Can we be in and around it? Can we give ourselves a real chance? Everyone expects South Shields to win the league. And I just wanted to go there, you know, with a realistic chance that if we play well, who knows? You know, the pressure's on them. If they win, they've effectively won the league. But you know what? My side's not bad. So if we go there and give them a game, then who knows? But delighted with today's performance.
Specifically, how important was it to have that, now, no disrespect to any other player, but that first choice back four, yeah, all back fit? There's been a lot of, you know, moving around. You've had to shuffle the pack quite a lot in the back. But we really felt, didn't it, like the top back four were back in form.
It's been hard for them. You know, they've formed a tremendous relationship. You know, when Cam came in, we went, I think, 17 unbeaten with Morris and Jones and Dodd and Doyley. So, you know, they've had a great partnership. And, you know, when Curtis got injured and then Doyley gets injured and we had to move it around. But, you know, even when we were having our blip, we were still churning out results. And, you know, Matty Elson's coming and done well. Aaron Moss has gone to centre-half. Curtis playing a different position. They've all played the part. But when you've got that back four, you know, you've seen what they can do today. A clean sheet, which is massive. You know, just delight for everybody.
And clean sheet, of course, important. Unlike, say, the Hyde game, 5-0, and then it just takes the edge off it, but not today.
Not today.
Total control.
Yeah, I mean, we hit the post twice. The keeper's made 4 or 5 saves. You know, it could quite easily be more today. But, you know, if you would have said to me we were going to come down here and get a 0 and get the 3 points and with a 4-0, you know, we would have snapped your hand off. And it's a nice Saturday afternoon for us.
And how much of Tondi's character has it shown? He's had six or seven games without a goal, which is always something that's going to influence a player, but he never seems to have visibly had his head down. He's never shown that. He scored last week, and the second goal in particular, as you described the movement, brilliant movement for it, but he's fitted the composure and then to blast that in a way the keeper cannot stop.
Listen, Tondi will tell you the truth. We had a conversation in front of the dressing room last Saturday. I said, let me take the pressure. You know, people are saying you're having a blip. People say you haven't scored in eight. Let me take the pressure. You play pressure-free. And I said, if you do that, you're going to score today. And he did, and he scored. And I said it to him again today, and he scored a hat-trick. And I went over and made a point of it. I said, tell you, you play like Tondi Olabi does. Take all the pressure off you. Enjoy scoring goals. That's what I'm here for. I'll take the pressure. I'll take people criticising whether or not you need a rest, etc. That's my decision. Tondi Olabi is a fantastic footballer at this level. I think that's maybe 30 goals for the season. You know, he deserves it, and you know, he's a credit. And you know, all the boys are buzzing for him in there. They really are.
And no one had a bad game today. And to be honest, when you start making, I was thinking just before you start making substitutions, I think this team is playing so well. Surely you can't make any changes. But the role of the subs, Donoghue looked really sharp, and they all played their part, didn't they?
Yeah, Donoghue was outstanding when he came on. Dan Trickett-Smith, you know, it's good 65 for him. He showed glimpses. He'll get better with game time. Regan Linney, it's good to get him back from his ankle injury. You know, if we're looking to, you know, start him next week. And then Finn comes on down the middle, and you know, Tundi comes off to a standard ovation. But it's a squad game. You know, I feel sorry for Matty. I feel sorry for Jack Lenehan. I've had to leave Larnell Cole out of the squad. I've left Ben Kerr out of the squad. I've let Kyle go back to Morecambe last night. So it's, you know, everyone wants to play football, but there's 11 games to go. Everyone's been really patient. You know, they're a squad. You know, let them be unhappy with me. With each other, they're great. They're going to have a squad night out tonight. They're going to have something to eat when we get back, you know, at Broadhurst Park. And they're in and out of each other's pockets. And they've been like that since we came together in June. So, you know, I'm really happy for them today. They've shown immense character and real good quality on the pitch.
A little point about Belford. His distribution sometimes is exceptional, where you see a player, you know, in the opposing half, and he'll throw it or he'll kick it and he'll find the player. And Ennis, I think it was, both times, yeah, took it really well.
That was a standout moment. He catches from the cross. He puts a half volley down the left-hand side. Charlie Ellis goes through and, you know, makes the keeper work. So, you know, we're happy with that. You know, Cam's been great. I don't think he touched it many times in the second half, which showed our dominance. And that's what I'm saying. You know, these aren't a bad side. These won't surprise me, you know, whoever they're playing. If I'll always back him to get points today. They come across a really good FC United team, and, you know, we thoroughly deserved our win.
Best performance the season?
It's right up there. You know, you know it's hard to say which is the, you know, the best performance. I look at games across the season, but it's got to be up there. You know, if not one, I just look, we're controlled start to finish. But as a manager, when you work on things in training, it's, and you see it come to fruition, the lads taking on and retaining information, that's as pleasing as it gets.
South Shields then, so it's all set up nicely. FC now into second place with Basford losing. This week, is it as much a mental thing as a specifics on the field, or do you think the mental side is, you feel fairly well taken care of with this team now?
I think we're all right. Listen, we've got to go down there. Like I said at the start of the interview, our important thing was, can we go to South Shields? We always knew when the game was in the fixture calendar. Can we go to South Shields and be in contention, in and around it, maybe going for a playoff place? I wouldn't believe you if you said, you know, we're still in touch with the Championship. And the lads have done that, and this is what we've talked about. Can we go to Shields with 11 games to go? I've got a little thing that I have, I call it the mini league, when I've got 10 games to go, and my teams usually come to their own with me at the mini league. Go to South Shields, go and enjoy the occasion. I'm sure that we'll take a load of fans down. They'll have a load of fans down. You know, the club have paid for us to stop overnight on the Friday, so preparation is going to be as professional as we can do, and we're just going to enjoy the occasion. You know, no pressure on these boys at all.
When you say enjoy the occasion, but still, it's a delicate balance, isn't it, with the job that has to be done, that in a way don't play the occasion. Would you say
I'd say enjoy the occasion, because I don't want them to play it with any pressure. I've said to, you know, in this week about the Gideometer, I want these lads to play pressure free. I want them to go down there. I want it to be packed. I want 3,500 there. I want them to go and enjoy it, because they deserve that opportunity. And, you know, we're as good as, if not better, than South Shields on our day. You know, they've obviously been more consistent. They're 6 points clear than us. But enjoy the occasion, because it's not every day that you're playing a first v second on a packed field that, you know, down at South Shields. So, you know, these lads won't take the foot off and just look around and stare at the crowd. They'll revel to it. You know, people like Michael Potts and Luke Griffiths, they wait a long time to play in front of, you know, crowds like this next week, and it proves to be a spectacle. And, you know, it's one against two, you know, and I made the best team win. We'll be ready for it, they'll be ready for it, they'll enjoy it, we'll enjoy it, and, you know, just see everybody up there.
You take a point?
No.
Okay.
No, well, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather get beat or I'd rather win. I don't want a point. I want to go for it next week.
All right. Well, thank you so much for going through all our questions, Neil. Congratulations. Fine performance.
Brilliant.
And we'll see you in Newcastle.
Thank you.
There we go.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Well, that's
afternoon.
Had a nice time.
Very, very good afternoon.
Right, Women's Team Live will be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock kickoff, live at Broadhurst Park. If you can't make it in person, we'll have full commentary available. It's FC United against Mosley Hill in the league as FC United's women's team chase a treble. Of course, the men's team chasing a double. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. Join us next week for the next instalment. This time round, it'll be away at South Shields. And excitingly, the commentary team are taking four different methods of transport to get up there. Very, very exciting. Will they all make it in time for kickoff? Join us next week to find out. 2:30, we'll be going on air. FC United away at South Shields. Well, from here, and Michelover Sports in Derbyshire, thank you to James. Thank you to Stato Paul. Thank you to Woodsell. But it has finished here. FC United and Manchester 4-0 winners. And we go again next weekend. Take care.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. As discussed there, next up for the Reds will be the mammoth encounter in the North East as first host second as FC United travel to South Shields. The address for the ground is Mariners Park, Shaftesbury Avenue, South Shields, NE32 3UP. That's Mariners Park, NE32 3UP. Kickoff on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But as always, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. right here on www.fc-radio.co.uk. Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United welcomed Mosley Hill to the Broadhurst Park 3G. To hear how the Reds got on, it's over to Ben.
And it's going to be a free kick to FC United with 10 minutes just played here. It's right of centre, 8 yards outside the penalty area. Perfect for a left footer, and Kirsty Chambers is over this ball. He's four players in the wall. Richardson's over the ball as well. I'd say, in fact, she moves away now, heading out towards the right-hand side. Is Chambers going to go for goal? Yes, she is. Shot comes in. Oh, and it's straight into the top corner. Proper pro-evolution soccer stuff there from Kirsty Chambers. Superb stuff. And with 11 minutes on the clock, FC United break the deadlock. FC United 1-0 up here against Mosley Hill. Inside her own half, Smith now running towards the centre circle. Plays the ball to the left-hand side to Fields. Fields, a nice weighted pass down the line there for the runner Bailey. Bailey into the penalty area. Has to check back though. Two blue shirts around her. Plays the ball back to his left-hand touchline to find Kirsty Chambers. Chambers now is going to motor towards the byline. Crosses the ball in. That's a great ball, surely. A fantastic goal from FC United. And Maxie Smith there, racing towards the near post area. It was a peach of a ball in from Kirsty Chambers. Really, really inviting. It was one of those balls into the box where, you know, everyone in the ground went, oh, I could get on that ball. It was a delightful pass into the box from Kirsty Chambers. Great stuff as well in the build-up there from Cara Fields and from Jordan Bailey. And on 14 minutes, in fact, 13 minutes just gone, FC United, a 2-0 lead. Here is McCarrick now. McCarrick challenged, though, and racing forward is Davidson. And looking dangerous here, Mosley Hill over on the left-hand side. And could have been on ball. That play continues. Shot comes in. The referee is going to give a penalty, I think. Yes, it's a penalty to Mosley Hill. And I think that's fair, in all fairness. Chelsea Patient there with the offence. Ellie Doyle was the one who was trying to get past her. It was awfully messy from FC United's defence as a whole, that build-up there. And with 2 minutes played of this second half, Mosley Hill have a way back into this game. Got to get past Chloe Ainsworth first. It's a penalty to Mosley Hill. It's Davidson to take this. Rachel Davidson, a couple of minutes into the second half. Oh, she puts it wide. Well, from this angle, it looked like it was just over Chloe Ainsworth. Ainsworth did guess the right way, but the ball went wide and the score remains 2-0. A big let-off there for FC United. That was the way back into the game, I feel, for Mosley Hill. And Camp can clear the lines. Long ball, play forward. One bounce inside FC United's half. There's Davis. Davis does well for FC United. Here's Abby Carrington now. Carrington there, leaving two blue shirts in a wake. Carrington now could cross this ball towards Bailey. It breaks to Bailey. Bailey's one-on-one. Bailey scores 6 minutes into this second half. And after a rocky start to the second half, where Mosley Hill have been camped out in the first 4 minutes or so inside FC United's penalty area. FC United there create an opportunity down that left-hand side. Jordan Bailey, it breaks to her. She's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. She doesn't miss those opportunities all too often. And with 6 minutes played of this second half, FC United make it 3-0 and ride the storm. Ainsworth Plays it to O'Gara. O'Gara dinks the ball through there to find Smith, midway inside FC United's half. She plays it out to Beth Hayes. Hayes there lays the ball off to Chambers. Chambers, back it goes to Davis. Davis under a bit of pressure here, and then plays it to Patient, who's also equally under pressure, but Patient does well. Gets it to Mava. Mava now on this right-hand touchline. Forward it goes to Richardson. Richardson's got time to turn. Plays a long ball, and this is going to be a great substitution here because Beth Hayes has been on the pitch for, 40 seconds? And Richardson finds Beth Hayes. She controls it really well and slots it over the goalkeeper. And with 14 minutes played of this second half, the scoreline is now 4-0. Substitution masterstroke there from Cameron Hussein. And it's a corner ball to FC United. 15 minutes into the second half. In it comes. Davis is there, but it's cleared. Only as far as Bailey now on the edge of the penalty area. Bailey does well. Shot comes in, but she can't get much purchase on it. And it's back with Camp, who clears it. Inside FC United's half, this ball goes, flicked over the top there. I think Bennett's going to be able to get on this ball. In fact, it's Davison. Davison shoots, and what? Give over. I'm not having that. That was a fantastic goal. She really went for it, didn't she? Davison, there was no one in the box, so she meant it. She absolutely levered it, and she's, 5 yards in from the touchline, 5 yards in from the byline, and she's absolutely levered it into the far post. Chloe Ainsworth with no chance. 16 minutes played of this second half, and it's now 4-1. Davison there looking to take on Smith, but Smith's having none of it. O'Gara dinks the ball over to Chambers. Chambers now takes a touch and then plays a pass. Richardson's onside. Richardson's got a bit to do, though. She's surrounded by blue shirts. Oh, my goodness. What a finish from Natalie Richardson. Right on the edge of the box. It looked like she was going to get through, but the Monster Hill defence recovered well and then stood right in front of her. So what does Natalie Richardson do? She goes for the lob right into the top corner. And on 19 minutes in the second half, it's 5-1. Monster Hill give the ball to Chambers. Here's Smith now. Smith to O'Gara. O'Gara square to Patient. Patient to Davis. Davis to Fields. And Fields plays the ball back here to Ainsworth in the FC United goal. He plays it to Davis on the edge of the penalty area. Davis now through the middle to Smith, but FC United giving the ball away there to Lachlan. And now there's an opportunity here for a second goal from Mosley Hill. And Rachel Davison scored a wonderful goal earlier. That's more opportunism, but the calm and composure there from Rachel Davison to take the ball past Ainsworth and slot the ball over the line. It's 5-2, and Mosley Hill there, with Rachel Davison scoring two wonderful goals for them, with 14 minutes left to play here. 5-2 the score. Another throw in, this time though to Mosley Hill. Down the line it goes, flicked on there by Davidson, and there's an opportunity here for Mosley if they can find the right ball. Shot comes in, good goalkeeping from Chloe Ainsworth, covering a near post off there, and the score remains 5-2. But then Ainsworth rolls the ball out there. Strong chance from Hunt. She won the ball fairly. And an opportunity here. And it's that troublesome player, Davidson. But a good challenge there from Cara Fields. And a nice pass out to the left-hand side there to Chambers. Chambers with a first-time ball to Clancy, who's onside. Clancy into the penalty area. And that is good night from Broadhurst Park. A fine finish there from Caitlin Clancy with 90 seconds of normal time to play. FC United there with a venomous counter-attack and a wonderful ball in from Chambers. Clancy timed a run to perfection, and that's 6-2 now to FC. And that is full-time here at Broadhurst Park. FC United 6-2 victors in this game. It has been a professional performance. 96% never in doubt that FC United were going to be victors here. The 4% comes from Rachel Davison, who scored two wonderful goals in that second half for Mosley Hill. But really, FC United have been in third, fourth gear through most of this game and have managed to score six goals. Six good goals. The pick of them, I'd say Kirsty Chambers' free kick in the first half was pretty special. I'd say Smith's goal as well in the first half was pretty good. The build-up play was superb. Richardson in the second half scored a wonderful lob, and Bailey scored a great goal too. And Beth Hayes from the substitutes bench scoring 40 seconds on coming onto the pitch. And Clancy also scored as well. 6-2 the score. FC United now moving into the next competition, the County Cup, where FC United will be taking on AFC Oldham. That game will be taking place next week. Then it's back to league matters on the 22nd of March, away at Fleetwood Town Wrens. And then it's back here on the 5th of April for Fleetwood Town Wrens in the league at Broadhurst Park. And we'll have full commentary for the first women's team live of April on the 5th of April, right here on FC Radio. But when it comes to league matters, FC United remain top of the table with games in hand. And coming up next, if you're listening to This Club Is My Club, we'll have the post-match reaction from Cameron Hussain. We'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
OK, I'm here with Cameron Hussain, women's team manager. A pretty convincing 6-2 victory there over Mosley Hill. But it could have changed a little bit if they'd have got that penalty at the start of the second half.
Yeah, I thought they were still in the game at that point, and I suppose football's like that. If they score, it's a different game, and if they didn't score, it turned out to be a comfortable win in the end. But I guess we just got the luck of the tide there.
We surged back in front after they'd missed that, and we went 3-0 and then 4-1. But we kept letting them back in. We kept seeming to just drop off a little bit. That must be a little bit concerning that we're not finishing them off properly, I think.
Yeah, I spoke to the girls at the end and a little frustrated on that end of letting our foot off the gas a little bit and not quite putting the game away in that sense and keeping a clean sheet. And we always pride ourselves on clean sheets, so always something to work on and improve on, but we've got the win in the end, I suppose.
It was a very good team performance. I was watching from the sidelines, as I do, six different scorers for a six-goal haul. I'm not sure we've done that before. I'll be checking that out later, but that just shows that it's coming from all angles, and that I think that's always more encouraging than one person getting like 50 goals in a season, because it means that you've always got backups.
Yeah, I think it's quite a rarity that if you score more than five goals, somebody's not got two or three or four. So it's pleasing to see that everyone's getting involved and playing their part. And like you said, it's not just coming from one angle, it's coming from everyone, and I think everyone feels valued in this team in that sense because of that, and everyone knows they have an important role, so it's benefiting the girls and benefiting the whole team, I suppose.
Yeah, so it creates a good atmosphere and a good spirit for the fans to watch here on International Women's Day, and I think both sides did the game credit. It was well played from everybody. It wasn't a niggly game or anything. It was nice. But we move on to the Cup next week, and we're in Oldham.
Yeah, so another break from the league again. Back in the Cup against AFC Oldham away, which should be a good test. And we always say everyone loves a good Cup upset, so you never know what could happen. So we'll see how we go.
Looking forward to sort of like keeping the tradition of the Cups going for FC?
Absolutely, super excited for the Cup games. I think it'll be a really good test in terms of pressure and how the girls can handle it. But also, if we can stick to our playing style and still play the good football, attacking, aggressive football, whilst winning in the Cups, because one mistake and you're out. So it's a different mentality compared to the league, where you're playing for points here. One mistake and you can be out, or one goal and you're through. So it'll be a good challenge, and we're all looking forward to it.
FC United women's team manager Cameron Hussain there, speaking to Neil Boo on Sunday afternoon, following his side's 6-2 win over Mosley Hill. And on that happy note, that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.